Assiniboia RCMP failed to inform Moose Jaw police that they had charged Jeremy Saborin with firearms-related offenses when they brought him to city cells, nor did they mention that a small pistol was missing, a coroner's inquest heard. RCMP Sergeant Dennis Silliker took the witness stand at Court of King's Bench on April 17 on day 3 of a coroner's inquest looking into Saborin's death in Moose Jaw Police Service, MJPS, cells on October 7, 2021. Silliker was the detachment commander in Assiniboia when Const. Paisley Armstrong arrested Saborin on October 6, 2021, on outstanding warrants for sexual assault and assault. Corporal Mark Dykstra conducted a preliminary roadside search at the arrest site, while Const. Colin Tetro conducted a more comprehensive search at the detachment. Young officers Armstrong had been with the RCMP for roughly 3 years, while Tetro had roughly 1 week of job experience. Armstrong was his field coach. Silliker, then a 14-year veteran, said his goal as their supervisor was to be a mentor and resource. While it's sometimes easier to mentor older members, the sergeant said junior members can be much better to coach since they've usually come directly from depot, have received intensive training and are keen to learn. In my experience, junior members are more tactically sound than perhaps some of the older members, said Silliker. They have a higher level of officer awareness, safety considerations, operational skills, and they haven't had the opportunity to develop bad habits or shortcuts that maybe a senior member may have. With RCMP policies about using a metal detection wand on prisoners, Silliker said neither he nor Tetro knew the policy existed before Saborin's death, although they did review policies about searching people. Watching the search, Silliker said he watched the junior constable search Saborin and not find any firearm, even though the prisoner had, unbeknownst to officers, a small, Derringer-type North American Arms Mini Master loaded .22 caliber pistol clipped to his underwear near his groin. The fact they didn't find the weapon has run through Silliker's mind, many, many, many times, since then, especially since he believed there was a firearm somewhere on Saborin. Asked why the pistol wasn't found, the sergeant said, "That's the question I've asked myself the last few years, is how could that not be located? It appeared to me to be a good, comprehensive search." Tetro filled out a form that contained information about Saborin, including his sexual assault and assault allegations, that would accompany him to Moose Jaw. However, the form did not contain information about his enthusiasm for guns, nor a new offense with which officers charged him 7 hours after his arrest for carelessly storing a loaded 9mm handgun in his truck, nor the fact he resisted arrest. Silliker and Tetro searched the truck because the former had information about a potentially loaded gun there and he was concerned about public safety. Seizing guns. After Saborin was shipped to Moose Jaw, Assiniboia officers, because of finding the loaded gun in the truck, searched Saborin's house and his parents' place for his firearms. They located 15 firearms, including 5 handguns, at the parents' home and 1 rifle at his home. Silliker wasn't at the parents' home long because he and Dykstra attended a domestic abuse incident later that evening. He noted that they never cataloged the firearms they took or compared them to a list they had. As they were leaving the parents' home, Saborin's father asked officers whether they had found the .22 caliber pistol. They hadn't. Officers never found it at Saborin's home, either. Failing to inform MJPS, Robin Ritter, the coroner's counsel, pressed Silliker about whether Moose Jaw police knew that the RCMP hadn't found the Derringer-type gun, whether RCMP phoned their city counterparts to inform them about the missing pistol, and whether Assiniboia members should have encouraged Moose Jaw to search him more closely. If I suspected at any point that he potentially was concealing a firearm, I would have taken and ensured that search was done, said Silliker. I had no suspicion at that time. I had no inkling that he would potentially have a firearm on him. Upon learning about Saborin's suicide the next morning, the sergeant added that his first thought was the prisoner had disarmed a city officer and used that gun. Questions and questions. While Saborin was still at the rural detachment, Siliker asked about the Mini Master pistol and whether the 40-year-old kept it on him or in his truck, receiving no to both queries. He said he asked because he was concerned about safety and worried he overlooked the gun in the truck because of its small size. The sergeant also asked the prisoner 4 times whether he had any knives or guns on him, as he did with everyone. The man declined to answer based on legal advice. A jurist asked Siliker whether Tetro, as a young officer, may have hesitated while searching Saborin, especially near the man's groin. Moreover, the jurist wondered if most officers are hesitant to conduct thorough searches near prisoners' private parts while adhering to guidelines. Siliker replied that members are usually concerned about being perceived as disrespectful when they search prisoners, so they attempt to find the right balance. This situation may have been avoided if Tetro had seen Saborin's underwear, where the gun was clipped, during the search. Tetro was well trained for searches because cadets frisk hundreds of people during their training and graduate at the top of their game, the sergeant added. RCMP never disciplined any of the Assiniboia officers, although Siliker took time off to address his mental health. He later transferred to headquarters in Regina and now investigates livestock problems.